Ladies and gentlemen, we're in business with Dudley Grosvenor.
How do you do? Well, Mr. Worth and me settled down as best we could at Miss Boots' boarding house in Paddington. It was an arrangement very unfair to me because I had to share a room with him, whereas he, on the other hand, was privileged to share a room with me. Still, say what you like about Mr. Worth, and I always say that what I like about him is his private income. But just the same, I would rather have him as a roommate than some of the other crackpots and non-entities who also stayed there. The Major, for instance, he had a gorilla, a stuffed gorilla, of course, called Mabel. Now, no doubt it reminded him of some emotional experience of his youth. But it's not my intention to delve into the Major's emotional experiences, or anybody else's. I mean, if I started to do that, I should soon be in very deep water indeed, and hot water as well. But about Mabel, Mr. Worth and me were lying in bed one morning.
No. Mr. Grosvenor, wake up, I implore you. There's someone outside doing bird impressions. Bird impressions, and they're terrible.
That's Miss Boots' chicken. We must be having chicken soup again.
But yet, does it have to make that terrible noise?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, so would you if you was dipped into nearly boiling water every 2 or 3 days. Oh, well, time to greet the dawn, Mr. Worth.
Good morning, Mr. Worth.
Ah, good morning, Miss.
Here she comes, the Mata Hari of the Women's Institute.
Oh, you with your blue eyes. I've brought you breakfast up, Mr. Worth.
Oh, thank you.
There we are. 6 rashers of bacon.
Yes.
3 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
4 sausages.
Uh-huh.
Pot of coffee and a jug of cream. Oh, all right.
Wonderful.
I must say the catering has improved out of all recognition. No, on second thoughts, I do recognise one of the sausages. Still, it's a turn for the better. My mouth is awash in anticipation.
Well, that's good, Mr. Grosvenor, because your half-kipper is waiting for you downstairs.
What? He gets all this and you fob me off with half a kipper?
Oh, don't be gutsy, Mr. Grosvenor. You had the other half last Tuesday. And a terrible job I had getting it away from the cat.
Gross injustice from what I hear. I'm told he had it first. But tell me, I've been dying to find out why this discrimination between me and my roommate.
Oh, go on, Mr. Grosvenor. You can't expect me to treat a lodger the same way as I treat my soulmate.
On those terms, I'd rather have half a kipper.
Ah, yes, but Miss Booty is very fond of me, you know.
Of course I am, you lovely boy, you lovely. So I jolly should be if I'm to be the future Mrs. Worth.
If you're to be the future Mrs. Worth, I can just imagine the wedding breakfast. Bacon and eggs for him and half a kipper for the guests.
Just a moment, the future Mrs. Worth, I had no idea. I thought we were just friends.
Well, so we are, darling. Very warm friends. Come along, dear, your nicey breakfast's getting cold.
Well, I'll be off to tackle my bachelor kipper. I'll see you downstairs. Good morning, Major. Major, look out.
Why don't you look where you're going?
Well, I'm sorry, Major.
It's all very well saying you're sorry, but look, you've bust my gorilla. Knocked it right out of my hands.
What's going on the landing?
This idiot Grosvenor has broken my gorilla.
Well, hold on, we're coming.
Well, I'm sorry, Major, but how was I to know you'd be coming out of the door brandishing a gorilla? Where were you going with it, anyway?
I was taking it to be dry cleaned. Now look at it.
What? Say, it's in smithereens.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, Major. A bit of sticky tape will soon have her back together again.
Oh, don't worry. My lifelong friend, my only friend, my tame stuffed gorilla. Poor Mabel lying in pieces about me. It's as if my whole world had collapsed.
Fella.
Yes, poor.
Oh, he's gone out. Still, some good has come out of this. I can have his kipper for breakfast.
You know, I never dreamt he felt so deeply about Mabel.
Poor old Major. I'm afraid Mabel's had it. I know how he must feel. I, too, know what it means to lose something of which I was fond. I remember once losing a pigskin wallet that contained £50 in cash. I was heartbroken.
Really? I bet you were. Eh?
It wasn't the sentiment so much as the money of the thing.
I must try to get him another gorilla.
What was that?
What did you say, dear?
No, I thought you said...
No, it's all right. Never mind.
Here we are. Harridge's department stores. I like Harridge's. They always do the fish up to look like nail on hose. Excuse me, young fella.
Yes, madam. Can I be of service?
Yes. Where can I get a griller?
Eye level griller, second floor kitchen department.
I said I want a gorilla.
Of course, madam, yes. I'll see if there's any left after the Christmas rush. I'll phone through to the manager. Excuse me a moment. Hello, sir. A Quinfold Pets Bazaar here, sir. I have a lady here who wishes to purchase a gorilla. A gorilla, sir. What, sir? Oh, no, sir, she can't be. No, no. Pubs aren't open yet. Yes, sir, yes, sir, certainly, sir. Oh, the manager's coming now, madam. He'll attend to you personally. I don't like to pry, madam, but might I inquire what you require this gorilla for?
I'm a vegetarian, if that's what you're thinking.
Well, that's not what I...
I want it purely for decorative purposes.
Well, no doubt this will have occurred to you, but don't you think that you might have a certain amount of difficulty in persuading him to stand still?
The gorilla I'm looking for must be stuffed.
Then may I suggest, madam, out of purely humanitarian motives, that you have it killed first?
Well, of course! Of course! You don't think I'm mad, do you?
Here comes the manager now.
All right, Quinfold, I'll handle this. Why don't you take a holiday? A long holiday.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, madam, but Mr. Quinfold is a little overtired. Just told me you wanted to purchase a gorilla. Imagine that. Now, what did you actually require?
A gorilla. I said I wanted a stuffed gorilla.
Look after this lady, would you, Quinfold?
Here. Just a moment. I want some service.
Madam, just out of idle curiosity, what made you think we could supply you with a gorilla?
Well, you got a sign outside saying Harridge's can get anything.
But a gorilla?
Yes, there's one in your window, wearing a topee and carrying a rifle.
Yeah, but, madam, that's part of our Safari Week window display.
And there's one in the tropical kit department.
That's part of our display too, ma'am.
I don't care what they're part of. They're on display and I want one. I've got a good mind to take my custom elsewhere.
Now, madam, don't be hasty.
We can't possibly sell her one of our gorillas, can we, sir?
Quinfold, sir? May I remind you that we of Harridge's do not know the meaning of the word can't. In 50 years, we have never had a dissatisfied customer.
Sir.
We, who are but Harridge's servants, have built up here a smoothly oiled, efficient machine, a monument to all that is good and fine in the British way of life. We have survived 2 world wars, the general strike, and 2 takeover bids. And what's more, we must not fail in our duty now. And besides, those gorillas have got the moth in them.
Sir, I'm proud to serve under you, sir.
You have touched me deeply. Rarely have.
When you two have quite finished, what about my gorilla?
Which one did you want, madam?
Well, how much is that gorilla in the window?
The one with the waggly tail? I think we could let it go for, say, £50.
Quinfold! How many times do I have to tell you that this is Harridge's, not a supermarket?
Yes,
never pounds, man. Always guineas. It's just one of those traditions which separates the professional man from the tradesman and at the same time ensures that his income is higher. The gorilla is 50 guineas, madam.
It's rather expensive.
Oh, but it's a very exclusive gorilla.
I see.
A veritable king of the jungle. There is, of course, a pedigree. This is Livingston IV by King Kong out of Pongo Royal Marmoset. Between you and me, there is a rumor that this is, in fact, the Piltdown Man.
You don't say. Can I have it on the Never Never?
I'm sorry, madam, but that isn't possible. Gorilla prices are going up. It's a perfect specimen, though, stuffed with nylon foam and in tip-top condition, apart from a slightly bitten left ear. A picturesque relic, no doubt, of some jungle amour.
No, sir, actually, it's moths. I would have done something about it, but I felt hanging a string of mothballs round its neck would somehow have disenchanted the mood.
Quite right. Well, madam?
Well, I don't know rightly what to say. Could you let me have the one in the tropical kit department a little cheaper? I think I prefer it anyway. It has a more soulful look.
Of course, madam, I understand. One's taste in gorillas is as personal as one's toothbrush.
Well, it is.
Shall we say 20 guineas for that one?
Yes, I'll take it.
Certainly, madam. And of course, if you're not happy with the colour, you can always bring it back and change it. Now, where shall I have it delivered?
Oh, no, don't bother. I'll take it with me.
Four, seven, nine. Oh, excuse me, are you Miss Cartwright?
Yes.
Good, I saw your advert in a theatrical paper. You are Cynthia Congo Cartwright, gorilla impersonator and ukulele solos. Own skin, go anywhere.
Yes.
Good, I'd like to offer you an engagement.
Lovely. What theatre?
Well, it isn't a theatre exactly.
Well, what is the nature of the engagement?
I'd like you to appear in a major's bedroom in Paddington.
Oh!
I don't know, this theatrical is very temperamental.
A stuffed gorilla. If only I can get one for the major to replace Mabel, he'd be so grateful to me, he'll take Miss Boot off my hands. Ah, they'll be so happy together, the three of them. Now, where can I get one? I think I'll try here. Abercrombie's, at the sign of the stuffed falcon. Taxidermist to the nobility and the gentry. Success at last. It's a bit stuffy in here, isn't it?
Good day, sir. What can I do for you?
Yeah, well, I'm looking for a stuffed animal.
Yes, sir. How about a nice giraffe?
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
Then how about a nice brace of zebras? Very contemporary.
I don't think so, no. I simply want a stuffed gorilla.
A gorilla? Is there no poetry in your soul?
Oh, yes, there is. I'm very fond of poetry. The Assyrians came down like a wolf on the foe.
Ah, there you've caught me. I haven't got a wolf in the place. I could do you a nice Assyrian, though.
Good, now this gorilla.
Yes, of course. What position do you want him in?
I want him on a plinth in the major's bedroom.
No, sir, what I mean is, what pose do you have in mind?
Well, I hadn't thought, just as long as it's typical of a gorilla.
How mundane. I have a reputation as an artist. Now, I can supply your gorilla in any pose you want. And it can express the sort of personality you'd like and admire. Now, if you want the self-confident type, you can have your animal with his hands clasped above his head in a gesture of triumph. Or thoughtful-like, resting his fist on his chin. I even did one once with the hands in his trousers pockets. Oh, that was tricky, that was.
I can imagine.
Yes.
Look, I just want a gorilla in any pose you have in stock.
All right, sir. Here you are. Isn't he a beauty?
All right, I'll take
it. £14 10.
14? Well, here's £15.
Here's your change.
Yes.
Two armadillos and a ferret. Now, just catch hold of him round the waist and you'll be as right as a rain.
Well, it doesn't matter. Keep the change.
Go.
This is an honour, Mr. Grosvenor. The South Kensington Palace of Fine Arts has never been favoured with an official visit from a museum inspector. In fact, I didn't know there was such a thing as a museum inspector.
A recent innovation, Mr. Pringle. Soon destined to become yet another burden on the taxpayer.
Oh, well, jolly nice to have you. Let me show you round. This is our Egyptology department. Actually, we're rather proud of it. These mummies over here are over 3,000 years old.
Your complaint has been noted. Fresh ones will be dispatched to you immediately.
Oh, no. You don't understand, Mr. Grosvenor. They are meant to be old. This one is Tutankhamun of Upper Nile, and this one is Ramesses of Lower Memphis.
What's the one in the middle?
That's McWhirter of the maintenance. He's cleaning them.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I see. I see that the minister was not exaggerating. This is indeed a very place for it.
For what, Mr. Grosvenor?
Of course, we'd have to raise the roof a trifle, but how worthwhile it would be. No doubt you've a spot in mind for it.
For what?
The needle, of course. Cleopatra's needle.
But that's on the embankment.
Ah, yeah, now. Purely temporary arrangement, you understand. We had to leave it somewhere while we looked for the ideal setting.
We are getting Cleopatra's needle?
Well, we can't leave it out in the open too long, you know. It'll perish. You'll arrange for collection, of course. Our van's busy transporting Nelson's column to Lowestoft.
Whatever you say, Mr. Grosvenor, this is wonderful.
Let me see now. Yes, I think the picture gallery could do with a bit of jazzing up. Yes, what,
Mr. Grosvenor?
Yes, I think I know the very thing. It should be quite feasible now that Frank has been stabilised. That is, if you've no objection to the picture.
What picture?
I know it's not everybody's taste, and I can quite understand that some people might find her too enigmatic.
The Mona Lisa. We are getting the Mona Lisa.
Have you ever heard of it?
But that's the property of the French government.
Quite so. It's all bound up with reparations for Trafalgar. Very involved stuff. We never collected it, you understand, because we could never find the right setting.
But the Mona Lisa, won't one of the bigger galleries want it?
Indeed they might. And what better claim do they have than the South Kensington Palace of Fine Arts?
Oh, you really think so?
I should have thought it was obvious. Quite apart from other considerations, it would help to take the curse off McWhirter. Now, I must confess that the arts are not really my pigeon, the arts are. I mean, I'm interested mainly in the field of natural history, a subject in which I graduated with honours.
Really? Oxford or Cambridge?
Both.
Now, how could you graduate from Oxford and Cambridge?
Ride a bicycle.
Well, I think we have a few things that might interest you. There's a plastic dinosaur. We put it together ourselves, you know. Collection of birds, a stuffed gorilla.
Ah, stuffed gorilla. Now, I'm fascinated. Where is it?
You're looking at it.
Mr. Pringle, don't start getting rumbustious with me. This shoddy imitation does have some vague resemblance, but it wouldn't fool an expert for one moment. I mean, where are its webbed feet?
On a gorilla?
Yeah, a gorilla is essentially an aquatic animal, and webbed feet are inherent in its evolutionary development. And for that matter, what's happened to its wings?
Gorillas live in trees.
And how do they get up the trees without flying?
They climb up.
With webbed feet?
Mr. Grosvenor, I'm confused. That's the gorilla I was issued with. It looks like a gorilla. It is a gorilla!
Are you presuming to argue and, moreover, raise your voice with a graduate of Oxford and Cambridge? Sure. Have you ever seen a gorilla in its natural surroundings, let alone habitat?
No.
I thought as much. You have been cruelly duped. It's the old Van Meegeren story all over again. That is a forged gorilla.
No, Mr. Grosvenor, no.
Perhaps I'm being charitable in describing you as the victim. For all I know, this is a vast clearinghouse for gorilla forgeries.
Relent, Mr. Grosvenor, please relent.
No, the matter requires investigation. Believe me, you have just kissed goodbye to the needle,
oh, no.
The Mona Lisa, and the £15,000 extension to the ladies' cloakroom.
Oh, but there must be some explanation.
Oh, I don't see how. Oh, yeah, you're right. You are right. I mean, the missing features can be accounted for. This animal, I've just noticed, it has gorilla fever.
What's gorilla fever?
Oh, very virulent disease, Mr. Pringle. Creates havoc wherever it strikes. They had a bad epidemic in Finchley a couple of years back. You won't find a gorilla in the district now.
Good heavens.
I should have recognised the symptoms. The webbed feet shriveling up, the wings dropping off. I'll have to take it away and boil it in carbolic.
Oh, yes, do that.
Of course, it's very contagious. You may have to come too.
What? And be boiled in carbolic?
Well, we'll chance it this time. But not a word to anyone. We don't want to start a gorilla fever panic. Now, help me get this brute out of its case.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Mr. Grover. I'm eternally grateful. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Gorilla fever. I shall have to spray McWhirter.
Taxi! Oh, dear, it's no use. I can't hail a taxi while I'm holding this gorilla. I'll have to stand him up on his own. Taxi! Taxi! Yes, you!
Sorry, sir, I didn't see you in a fog. Where to?
Ah, yeah, well, I want to go to...
Just a moment, sir. The other gentleman was first.
The other gentleman? Which gentleman?
The one in the raccoon coat standing next to you.
You mustn't be silly. He's a gorilla.
No, sir, there's no need to be abusive. He had his arm up before you.
That's the pose he's in. It was me that called you. Now, please don't argue. There's a crowd collecting.
Now, look here. The other gentleman was first. Wasn't you, sir?
He can't speak.
Oh, he's a foreigner.
Well, yes. I suppose he is a foreigner.
So this is how you treat a visitor to our shores.
You don't understand. He's an orang-utan.
It don't matter what nationality he is. He's entitled to respect.
Yes, madam.
We've given the orang-utans their independence, haven't we? They was our allies during the war. Oh, dear.
Yes, you come with me, mate. I'll take you to the orangutan embassy.
No, it's all right. Just tell me where the bus depot is. I've got to get to Paddington.
Straight across the road. If you run, you'll just catch the last bus.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I say, conductor, wait for me.
It's all right, mate. We're not going for another 5 minutes.
Oh.
Here, you can't carry your friend onto this bus.
Oh, no.
Oh, if he's had too much, you'll have to get a cab.
He's not a drunk, he's a gorilla. Here, look.
God, blimey. I'm sorry, sir, the bus is full up.
Now, don't be ridiculous. It's completely empty.
I'm expecting a rush any minute. The seats are all booked. Sorry.
Now, don't be frightened. It won't hurt you. Look, it's dead.
Well, I'm not having it lying in state on my front seat. Now, take it away, you nasty thing. Go on, go away.
Now, calm down. He's quite an amiable gorilla. Look, he's smiling at you. See? I'm wiggling his ears.
Ooh, no, don't bother. Just take it away from me, that's all.
Certainly not. I know my rights. I'm a taxpayer.
Maybe, but he isn't.
Surely there's nothing in the rules says I can't bring a gorilla onto a bus.
Perhaps not, but there's nothing in the rules says you can. Now then, I'm prepared to meet you halfway. If you was to admit he was a dog...
A dog? Shame on you. Expecting him to throw away his birthright just to get onto a bus.
I'm sorry, sir. That's the only condition on which I can let him on.
Oh, all right, then. All right. Let's agree. He's a dog. I just can't imagine him curled up on my lap in the evening.
All right. You can bring him on, but it's full fare.
Thank you. Right. Come on, Fido.
I say, Cooey, conductor, is this the bus for Paddington?
Yes. Oh, blimey. You got a gorilla, too?
What do you mean?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore. Go on, go inside. The rest of your party's in there.
Oh, hello, Mr. Worth.
Hello, Miss Boot.
What a coincidence. You've got a gorilla, too.
Yes.
Oh, yours is a smasher. He's much better than mine.
Well, I must admit, he is bigger, isn't he?
Well, mine was reduced.
This means the Major will have two gorillas.
Oh! Well, two gorillas can live as cheaply as one.
Yes, of course they can.
Excuse me, conductor, am I right for Paddington?
Blimey, what's this? A gorilla's annual outing? Oh, I suppose you'd better take it inside.
Hello, you two.
Hello,
Mr. Grover.
Snap! The Major's going to be surprised, isn't he?
Can I have your fares, please?
Three to Paddington,
oh,
please.
Thank you.
What about your mates? Hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil.
They'll sit on our laps.
Looks like you're going to have the bus to yourselves. Hold tight.
I say, wait for me.
Sorry, lady, the bus is full up with gorillas.
Don't they look lovely? All round the Major's room.
Yeah.
I must say, Mr. Grosvenor, you have a flair for gorilla arrangement.
Well done.
No mistake.
It was just one of those things I picked up on my travels. You don't learn that sort of thing at the polytechnic.
No.
I must say I do like the effect of my gorilla peeping nonchalantly out of the wardrobe with the regimental tie draped over its arm.
Yes, yes, does.
Mine adds a cosy touch, crouched behind a pampas grass in the grate, holding a copy of Darwin's Origin of the Species.
I must say I rather go for my one. It gives the room a certain bizarre mood, you know, swinging as it does upside down from the lamp.
Major should be delighted. I hear him coming up the stairs. Quiet.
Great merciful heavens! The room is bursting with gorillas.
There, Major. Now, knowing how much Mabel meant to you, we each went out, all unbeknownst to each other, and replaced her.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Think nothing of it, Major.
But you don't realise...
Major, aren't you pleased?
Look, this is rather awkward. But you see, when Mabel passed away this morning, I realized that perhaps it was for the best. But I also realized that there comes a time in a man's life when he needs something more than a stuffed gorilla. My friends, I'd like you to meet Maud.
Blimey's brought a live one.
You've been listening to We're in Business with Peter Jones as Dudley Grosvenor and Harry Worth as his partner in crime. The part of Miss Jubilee Boot was played by Irene Handel, and other parts were played by Dick Emery, Hugh Paddock and Paddy Edwards. The script was written by Barry Took, Marty Feldman and Peter Jones. And the program was produced by Charles Maxwell.
That program was presented by the BBC.